WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange has announced that he will appeal the ruling by a London judge to extradite him to Sweden for questions stemming from allegations of sexual assault and rape last August. Judge Riddle dismissed the defense's arguments that Assange would not receive a fair trial because of his work through the whistleblowing organization. Swedish authorities also claimed that he would be protected from ultimately being extradited to the U.S. on separate charges relating to WikiLeaks' publication of U.S. government documents, which is an offense carrying a possibility of the death penalty. Assange characterized the trial as a European arrest warrant system run amok. Meanwhile, today marks the 278th day of solitary confinement for Private First Class Bradley Manning, who is being held at U.S. Marine Corps Base Quantico in Virginia. Manning is charged with allegedly providing WikiLeaks with classified video depicting the murder of civilians by U.S. Apache helicopter gunfire in New Baghdad in 2007. Whistleblowing, however, is not confined to international war crimes. Our guest today is the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. Stephen Martin Cohn is a leading attorney specializing in representing whistleblowers. And in his new book, The Whistleblower's Handbook, a step-by-step guide to doing what's right and protecting yourself, he provides potential whistleblowers with 21 rules, including how to navigate the maze of federal and state laws that provide protection to those who witness misconduct in the workplace. And with no end in sight to the relentless corporate-funded assaults on government regulation, concerned citizens continue to emerge as democracy's last line of defense. Stephen Martin Cohn joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, how has public opinion of whistleblowing and whistleblowers changed? There was a time when to be a whistleblower was considered really having to brave insults and feel like, you know, become extremely isolated. Has that changed?
Yes. Over time, because whistleblowing works, public opinion has changed. Whistleblowers are now the number one source of all fraud detection in the United States, the number one source of all fraud recoveries of the federal government. They pointed out major deficiencies ranging from failures to stop the 9/11 attacks, improper contracts to Halliburton in the war of Iraq, misconduct and torturing of prisoners. So the public has seen the benefits that they can derive and democracy derives from protecting whistleblowers. So there has been a shift. And polling shows that there's a large majority of Americans now stand behind whistleblowers.
What are the conditions, if you will, that should be met before somebody in a workplace, particularly a corporate workplace, decides to be a whistleblower? How should they measure the reasons by which they need to blow the whistle on potentially criminal activity or at least unethical activity that they see around them?
Well, whistleblowing is always primarily a moral and ethical decision where someone has to risk their job and career to do the right thing. It's also a fundamental ingredient for democracy because unless the people, the public, knows what's going on, how does democracy work? And that goes right down to an investor. If they're lying about a company's net worth, you may lose your retirement. If they're lying about, government contracting, you may get ripped off. So it's a moral question first. But here's what has changed. Because whistleblowing has been the most effective means of rooting out fraud, four powerful whistleblower laws have been passed that let whistleblowers obtain monetary rewards if their allegations are proven correct. And it covers government contracting, major tax fraud, securities fraud, and commodities fraud. And this is why corporate America is now on a major assault against whistleblower protections, because they're afraid, because whistleblowers can get rewards. And that is a major determining factor now for any employee deciding whether to do the right thing.
But I suppose the biggest challenge for anybody who is in a corporate workplace and in a position to decide to be a whistleblower is to figure out how to navigate the various laws that are in place, because not only are there a number of federal laws, as you cited, but states have their own laws. Are there any, you know, in navigating this maze, do they also then have to watch out for, you know, being subject to any criminal, particularly or potential criminal prosecution themselves? Certainly, they will fear losing their job too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I wrote this book. The handbook is written for the average American worker. It's, you know, so they can understand what their rights are. And the reason is there's now over 50 separate federal laws protecting whistleblowers. Some are very weak, and if that's all you have, you may want to keep your mouth closed. Some are super strong and get you to federal court for major damages and rewards. But each one has rules and procedures on how you qualify. And a very simple mistake in the beginning can have devastating impact. That's why it's important for any employee who is thinking about blowing the whistle, maybe to a corporate compliance program, a hotline, a supervisor, the government, before you take the first step, you have to understand what your rights are. And it's literally the difference between, you know, being countersued or going to jail like Bradley Manning, or actually qualifying for a multi-million dollar reward. That's how different it can be. And there are traps that can, you know, make a whistleblower who has a great case lose. But then there are offensive tools the whistleblower can use to strengthen their case, strengthen their position, and maximize their ability to actually create change, successfully expose wrongdoing, and serve the public interest. But the way to describe it, it's a war out there. The companies will use every penny at their disposal to shut you up.
Right.
They're hard-fought litigations. On the other hand, there are tools that the whistleblower can use, like in terms of filing confidential petitions with the Attorney General to get them to back them up even before they go public. So, understanding these rules is the first and, I think, fundamental step in using whistleblower disclosures to create positive social change.
Now, Stephen, you in your book, you write about how there's a whistleblower revolution that is taking place today, which probably goes hand in hand with a more positive public opinion of whistleblowers, but particularly in workplace ethics and legal protections. One of the major laws is the Dodd-Frank Act. Tell us about this law, and is this a good place to start when trying to navigate the maze of laws?
Yeah, absolutely. The revolution is that Congress has started to get it right. Once they realized that whistleblowers are essential for fraud detection, they then looked at the numbers, and they're really scary. 99% of people who witness fraud and misconduct at work are too afraid to report it to the government. So Congress said, my God, we're missing out on all of this information. People are getting ripped off, and we saw it with the financial meltdown. We saw it with Enron. The people are getting ripped off, so how can we get employees to take that bold step? And so essentially, it's a revolution. They created these four laws that incentivize and reward whistleblowing, and that is a fundamental change from where we were 10 years ago. And now we're looking at a corporate backlash where they're trying to undermine these laws. But let me explain to you how it works. Under securities fraud now, if you turn in a company ripping off shareholders, the whistleblower can collect between 10 to 30% of the monetary fines obtained from the government.
So it can be personally lucrative.
Yes, and the same thing goes with tax fraud. And the same thing goes with fraud in government contracting. It also covers all commodities, such as if people are manipulating oil prices, electrical prices. You may remember that in California. I remember where companies were manipulating the price of electricity. That's all covered now. The potential fines are enormous, and these laws empower the average worker to go to the government regulators in confidence and, secretly. And then one of the laws, two of them actually say anonymously, where the government doesn't even know who you are. You can work through an intermediary. Give the government the inside information, and if they prosecute, you get this significant reward. But it's extremely expansive. Under securities law, it actually covers the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. So you're looking at people now with the right to blow the whistle on bribery conducted in foreign countries. So, you know, and what occurs is many employees don't understand that at the bottom line of most whistleblower cases is money. One of the first cases decided 40 years ago, the judge said, safety costs money. So they were cutting back on safety regulations where workers could die because it saved money.
And also even consumers.
Yeah, consumers is the same way. If they're going to put a product out there that may harm people, it's usually because they can make money. If they're going to sell a worthless stock, it's to make money. So by analyzing these four laws that cover pretty much the entire U.S. economy, you can often tie your whistleblower case to a law that provides a financial incentive. And the other good news with these laws is they have powerful provisions that prevent workers from being fired. And there are cases where workers have actually turned in the company, received million-dollar rewards, and still work for the company. You know, that to me is a revolution from when I started representing whistleblowers back in 1984.
My guest is Stephen Martin Cohn. He's an attorney specializing in representing whistleblowers. He's also the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. And we're talking about his new book. It's called The Whistleblower's Handbook. It's hot off the presses. A step-by-step guide to doing what's right and protecting yourself is the subtitle. Now, in your book, in the number of rules, it's 21 rules that for potential whistleblowers. One of the rules is, always ask, is the taxpayer on the hook? Can you explain that a little?
Sure. I'll give you an example. People may remember this scandal where a company was selling contaminated peanut butter and people died. And it led to the Food Health and Safety Act being passed. But it was a terrible case. Thousands got sick and it was just an awful scandal. The company was in Georgia, a state that has no whistleblower protection. At the time, there was no federal whistleblower law for food safety. So workers there would have assumed they had no rights. But the investigation showed the workers had witnessed all of the contamination. They saw the roaches, they saw the mold, they saw, you know, the testing for all the contaminants. They knew these peanuts were bad. So they were in a position to blow the whistle, but nobody did. They had no rights. But guess what? As it turns out, that peanut butter was being sold in California to the food lunch program.
Hmm.
California has one of the most powerful False Claims Act that protects taxpayer money. The California taxpayer was paying for the contaminated peanut butter. All of a sudden, instead of having no rights, you have rights under the California False Claims Act.
But sadly, none of the employees of the companies knew that.
Nobody knew that, and it would have taken a couple leaps to figure that out.
Hmm.
Because these changes in the law have occurred, but people don't understand them. They don't know what to look for.
And Stephen, in terms of your
I'm sorry.
In terms of your book, because these laws have changed so recently, there have been other whistleblowing handbooks put out there. Would you say that yours is obviously the most current with the most detailed information?
Well, I would absolutely say that is the case. I'm sure other handbooks are good. The difference with this one is I've been practicing and representing some of the most important whistleblowers for 25 years, and I've written 6 legal textbooks that really explain the law for lawyers and judges. This book, which took me about 5 years to write, was designed to make it understandable to the average employee. So I was able to take all those legal issues that can cause someone to lose a case and try to retranslate it to show you how to win your case, you know, what to look for, what evidence you need. And all of this goes to the fundamental question, should I blow the whistle? You know, if you go into it blindly, there's a strong chance there will be a catastrophic impact. You know, you could lose your job when you never really thought it through, whether you could afford that. You could lose your job but not even understand whether there's a good law out there that can protect you. So what this book does, it lets any employee in the country take a step back, evaluate what they're blowing the whistle on and whether it's worth the risk, and then go forward. And then I was able, and the publisher was fantastic about this, I was able to incorporate every new law right up through December 2010, including Dodd-Frank, and worked it completely into the book. They were tearing their hair out as they made 900 changes in December. But they were very nice about it and put them all in. So
it's very current. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just take a quick break before we continue our interview. I have a couple more questions for you. I want to let our listeners know that since we are in our pledge drive right now, you can call the radio station here at KPFK at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, and pledge your support to KPFK because you need the kind of knowledge that you hear on this radio station. If you make a pledge of $100 this morning, we'll give you the DVD of the Academy Award-winning documentary Inside Job, and better still, the first 12 callers who call us right now will also throw in a copy of The Whistleblower's Handbook, brand new, hot off the presses. If you think you'd like to blow the whistle on your company because you've witnessed some kind of potential fraud, you're not sure where to start, you're not sure if you really can do it or if you have the right protections, give us a call right now. We'll mail you a copy of the book along with the DVD Inside Job. The first 12 callers only will get the free copy of the book. And that's all we have to give away. We don't have any more copies of the book, just 12 copies of the first of the book, The Whistleblower's Handbook, along with the documentary DVD Inside Job, which I think that the two gifts are really quite relevant to one another. 818-985-5735 is a phone number to call. That's 818-985-KPFK. We have 12 copies of The Whistleblower's Handbook, a step-by-step guide to doing what's right and protecting yourself to add on to a DVD of Inside Job. Again, the phone number is 818-985-KPFK. Stephen Cohn, let's talk about the issue of hush money, as you call it in your book. If your employer finds out that you are getting ready to or may already have tried to blow the whistle and they approach you to essentially bribe you to sign away your rights, what advice would you give a potential whistleblower?
A very complicated issue about paying money to keep a whistleblower silent. The law is, in my view, fairly clear right now. If it's a federal crime and they try to pay it, it's an obstruction of justice. Under some laws, and these are cases that we did through the Whistleblower Center, you can actually take the hush money and then declare the settlement void and continue your case.
Wow.
And you never have to give the money back. It's as if the deal was never cut. And we litigated those in the area of atomic energy and the environment, and we won those cases where it was against Halliburton, Brown, and Root. They were paying off these hush monies at atomic energy plants. And we won it, and we got the courts and the Department of Labor to say the whistleblower keeps the hush money but can continue to sue the company. But it's extremely delicate because the companies have gotten smarter. So instead of coming straight out and saying, we'll pay you money not to expose a safety violation, They're trying to put in things like arbitration clauses, giving you very limited rights. So, again, what we say is the important thing in considering whether to blow the whistle is to look at any agreement you may have signed and analyze it. If it's a straight-up hush money deal, the odds are you can fight it. If it's more subtle, then you need a lawyer. You need to kind of analyze it. But what do you do if they offer you the money? To me, that is an obstruction of justice and could become very important evidence in your whistleblower case.
And you have a whole section on how to collect evidence, right?
Well, that's correct. We have two rules on that because it's so important. One is about self-help tactics. You know, should you tape a conversation? Should you remove company documents? And explaining what the law is on that and giving advice, whether you should or shouldn't. Those are tough questions. But on the other hand, I have an entire section on how to get the documents from the company legally. And under discovery rules, you know, people would be in shock how much you can force a company to turn over. And you can depose executives. You can depose, that means question under oath, all of the wrongdoers. You can really use the discovery process to build a very strong case. So whistleblowers, again, are not without substantial rights. They just have to understand how to use them and how not to get caught abusing them. The biggest mistake a whistleblower can make is just to have blind faith in doing the right thing. I'm exposing a wrong. I should be protected. Well, you may end up in solitary confinement. You may lose your job and career.
Unless you know what to do.
You have to do it right.
Well, finally, we only have time for one last question, Stephen Cohn. You talk about how hotlines can be something to be wary of in your book. Oftentimes, companies and others will set up hotlines for employees to blow the, you know, to basically expose what they think might be happening or if there's any problems. And you say beware of hotlines. Why?
Okay, well, in some companies abuse their hotlines. They have the hotline going straight to the general counsel's office. I had a case in which any employee who used hotline was classified as a litigation risk against the company.
Wow.
Started compiling a file. This is not to say that every hotline is a hoax or should be avoided. You have to beware of it. Learn about the reputation of that program before you use it. If that program is run by the Office of General Counsel of the company, which most are, they should be avoided. If they're truly independent, then you may want to use it. But you have to be very careful. Also, and this is something I found particularly upsetting, is many companies will go into court and argue that a contact with a hotline is not protected whistleblowing, and they fire employees on the basis of their contact with hotline. These cases are not resolved. We just filed a brief in the Fifth Circuit last week where someone from a credit union had filed a concern with compliance and got fired. So you have to be very careful using these company hotlines. If you think you'll be confidential when you contact them, you're wrong. They'll figure out who you are. Just by the nature of the allegations, and it's very hard to keep the identity of the whistleblower secret in a company. So I'm not saying don't use them, and many of my clients have worked in these hotline programs and tried to do the right thing. Be careful.
Well, on that note, Stephen Cohn, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing some of your information. And certainly it's distilled and very comprehensively in your book, which I hope listeners get a copy of. Thanks so much.
Well, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity. It's a great show you have there, and good luck.
Thank you so much. Stephen Martin Cohn is the executive director of the National Whistleblower Center. He's also a lead attorney specializing in representing whistleblowers. We've been discussing his new book. It's hot off the presses, just released, called The Whistleblower's Handbook, a step-by-step guide to doing what's right and protecting yourself.